Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 83.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. We're going to kick off with reading out one of the beautiful reviews we've received. But before I do that, I want to say another massive thank you to everyone who's left a review. As you know, in the crossover to become an independent show, we lost all 87 of our amazing reviews. And at the time of recording, we're up to 84, which is just incredible. And that's in the last season alone. We're so stoked that we have such a beautiful listenership that puts their words behind us and gives us beautiful reviews on iTunes. It helps us out so much. And we just can't believe how wonderful you guys are at actioning that. I mean, getting people to do things on the internet is really
especially
hard.
As iTunes makes it really easy. Not.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard. And also, like, because I've tried to do it myself and then, like, sometimes I forget my iTunes password and then I have to reset it and then I'm like, no review for you. So I appreciate it so much when people get through all those silly iTunes barriers for us. So the review I'm reading out today is from Alexi Rena, and she says, I love this podcast for so many reasons. The great topics that are discussed, the helpful tips and tricks suggested, the great relationship Kelly and Carly have, which translates into a relatable podcast and an ability to interact with the content and the hosts and apply it to your own life. One of my favorite podcasts, never miss an episode. I really loved this one because it reminds me of this email that Kelly and I got that said, it seems like we're really good friends. And I was like, we are really good friends. So it was, really sweet.
Yeah. And I love when people say they love feeling like they're our friends because it's kind of how I think of our listeners. I feel
same.
I want them to feel like they're in a conversation with us and part of it. And that's what we're aiming for. So it's always awesome when people say that we have achieved that because that's what we're aiming for. And we love that people get to come into the group and be such an active part of the conversation. And today's show actually is highly driven by the people in our Facebook group, our Straight and Curly Facebook group. So do come and find that on Facebook. Just search Straight and Curly. One more quick word on the reviews. We are aiming to hit 100 reviews before the end of the year. So if you listen and you love Straight and Curly, we would love you to leave a review. We love 5-star reviews, especially because we love, we love gold stars and that's the most
love
you can
gold
get.
Stars.
That would be amazing is if you can subscribe because subscribing too is very useful to us, from an iTunes point of view. But yeah, the reviews are brilliant as well. And they make us feel nice, but they also let us know that we're not just talking into the ether. We're like things that we're saying and doing are resonating with people. So we really appreciate it. All right. So this show, Carl.
So this show, we are answering questions about how to survive the holiday season. And we asked this in the Facebook group. So there's a mixture of questions from readers in the Facebook group. And there were also some amazing tips. So the first part of this is going to be us answering questions. And the second half is going to be amazing tips that we picked up from our listeners in that Facebook thread.
I was going to say, there was just like, it was the longest thread ever. Like this is obviously a very, very, very touchy subject with a lot of people. So we're not going to get to every single question and comment that people made, but we're trying to do the ones that kind of apply to everybody. But thank you to everyone who contributed to that thread. We were laughing saying we might even have to do 2 shows. Who knows? So Carlos, so that first one.
The first question comes from Dina and she asks about where to cut off gift giving. So nephews, nieces, friends, kids, etc. She needs a nice way to say you're not in our budget this year. My experience with cutting off gift giving is, I only have one niece, so she always gets something, but my parents have 12 nieces and nephews and they would only buy Christmas presents for the kids if they were actually seeing them, and they cut off all presents at the age of 18. So they kind of, and they were kind of the oldest of both of their families. So they sort of set up this rule that all of the other aunties and uncles followed. I also just think that going light on gift giving in general is always a really good way to go. If I'm seeing someone, I will take over. I'm very into hostess gifts. Mm. So if I go to someone's house, I always bring like wine or flowers or baked goods or chocolates or, I also, as a blogger, I get sent lots of beauty products. So if I go to one of Ben's friends' houses, I'll take like a little goodie bag of, you know, mascara and lipsticks for the girlfriend or something, things like that. And I feel like that gets me a get out of jail free card for making sure that I have to buy a birthday and a Christmas present for everyone every year. So most people, including my best mate, don't get Christmas presents from me. And that's just a thing I've sort of set up over the years. And I'm very pleased that that's in place.
Yeah, this is such a hard one, isn't it? Because it is, where do you draw the line? And like, you know, for a while there, I was really into giving gifts, and I used to give everybody gifts, like all my friends, well, not all my friends, but like, you know, my best friends. If they had kids, I gave their kids gifts. And then somewhere along the line, I was just like, one, this is really expensive, but two, I'm giving people stuff that I don't necessarily know that they need or want. And I can't, and that's, you know, that's when, you know, my mindset shifted to more the minimalist way of like, don't give people stuff they don't need and it's going to sit in the cupboard and then they're going to have to give it away or get rid of it at some stage. And I just couldn't deal with that. Also, I've got three brothers and sisters who are living, and they've all got, two of them have kids. So I've got nieces and nephews, I've got cousins, I've got parents, on both sides of our family. Aunt and I have parents and nieces and sisters and brothers. And it was just getting a bit unwieldy. Like, we were all, you know, buying, you know, spending $15 to $20 on gifts for, you know, 25 odd people. So it's all not something that's great, because what can you buy for $15 to $20 that's kind of really thoughtful and well thought out? But yeah, and it was also doing my head in, because I'm that person that's like, it has to be amazing. It, like, it has to be just right for this person. And in the end, I was like, guys, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't be doing this. We should, first of all, adults shouldn't be giving adults presents, because we're all middle-class white adults, well, not just middle-class adults. I need to specify the white bit.
Isn't it funny how sometimes you just like have that prepared sentence for like putting yourself in a
stating
privileged
my full
position
privilege. And but just, yes, my middle class status dictates that if I need something, if it's not like a $5,000 or $10,000 holiday to Hawaii, I can generally buy it myself, and this applies to my brothers and sisters, okay? None of us are rich, but we're all well enough off that we can buy stuff for ourselves. So therefore, we don't need anything. We don't need each other to be buying ourselves, you know. Like, it used to be that I needed people to give me clothes for my birthday, because otherwise I had no clothes. I'm not in that situation anymore. So I kind of feel adults giving adults presents is unnecessary. I feel like Christmas is more about being with your family than gift giving. A lot of people don't agree with me on that. But, yeah, you have to draw the line somewhere. And there's two ways to draw the line. You can be that person that's like, I know where the line is, and like, I'm just going to choose not to get like my friend and my friend's kids presents this year. And then you've got to deal with the fact that your friend and your friend might give you and your kids a present, and you just need to be able to go, thank you. And hopefully they're a good enough friend that they're not going to go, oh, but I gave you a gift, how come you didn't give me a gift? Like, so if you can deal with that, like, I'm the kind of person who can deal with that and not be fazed by it, then that's great. If not, you need to set the ground rules. You need to have the conversation with everybody and go, all this gift giving is getting out of control. It's not financially viable, but it's not also not environmentally viable. Where's the line? Let's all agree on where the line is and then go from there. Sorry, that was definitely a really long rant. I have a thing with giving gifts for the sake of giving gifts. Like, I think if you can give people things that they genuinely want and need, so good. But if you're just giving, if you're just going to the shop and going, yeah, that'll do, that kind of kills me, because I just know that that thing's going to sit on a shelf or in a drawer, and then it's going to find its way into landfill at some stage, and I can't deal with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. So our next one comes from Ali, and she says, our biggest struggle every year are the expectations of all of our families that they be the priority. So it causes so much stress that twice in my 7 years of parenting, I've told everyone we're staying home and they know where to find us if they so desperately need to spend most of the day with us. So this is a big problem that popped up a few times, was spreading yourself thin on Christmas Day and trying to see everyone. So my response to that was, this is an endless struggle for most families. Although I can see this becoming less of an issue for future generations, because most people are having less kids. I have one niece, and there's only because I have one brother and yeah. Ben has one brother. So I may only have one unless my brother has another one or unless Ben's brother has a kid. Who knows? So like that's going to be a very easy Christmas for me. We struggle a lot because I have an enormous family and my partner's family is tiny and they don't make as big a fuss over Christmas. So they tend to get it shafted a bit. They kind of get the afterthought of things. And it's not because they're not as important, but because there's literally five of them.
Yeah.
it's like going to their house for Christmas is no different to going to their house on a Monday night. So it's like, and I feel terrible about that. But I'm like, literally, my family of 30 people that live all over Australia are all in the same place at the same time right now. I find it really hard to prioritize, and it's me, like it's definitely me. But I find it hard to prioritize Ben's family because they're all going to be there in 2 days' time the next week and the week after. Like it's easy to do that, and they're very understanding. Like they're quite into it. But again, Ben loves his family and wants to spend time with his family, and I love his family too. So anyway, we try every year to go low key. Like last year we ended up with my family in Sydney and then catching a train to his family at the farm near Kiama. And it was just, and it was exhausting, but I just had the nicest day. I got to see everyone I loved and it was manic, but I figure I hate missing Christmas with my family. And if I'm here in Australia, I will drive around and see everyone while I can. I've still got three of my grandparents that are alive, which is incredibly special.
That's amazing.
So yeah, so I'm going to make, and Ben still has a grandma that's alive. So as long as we are able to do that, we will try to see everyone as often as we can because we're going to blink and we're going to be the only ones left. So I'm happy to make that a priority. And yeah, it's hard work, but it's one time of the year. And plus Christmas is fun.
Yeah, it definitely gets a little bit trickier when you get kids of your own. So I noticed that now, because first of all, you're moving kids around, not just you and your partner, like from place to place, and then everybody gets cranky and then ends up being the worst day ever. That said, like I'm like you, my family's massive. Christmas is really, really important to my family. I know I want everyone to be there. Like I hate like when my brother has to go to his girlfriend's family and he gets there a bit late to Christmas lunch, or my sister goes to her husband's family in the morning, and then like, you know, I miss everybody being in the same, I want everybody there in the same place at the same time. That said, it's not really realistic and we just have to take what we can, and we also have to protect our energy. So I've been lucky because like you, Aunt's family is quite small and they quite often just get absorbed into my family's Christmas, which makes things really easy. This year though, we're doing two Christmases, and I guess also lucky because my family, their idea of lunch is like 3/4 o'clock, whereas yeah. Everybody else's family is like, I know lunch is at 12. So if we ever have to do two lunches, we can realistically make both. In the end, you kind of have to just do what works for you. So I think we do need to be respectful of our parents and our parents' wishes and desires. And Christmas is about family, and sometimes you just have to do what you don't really feel like doing because family. But at the same time, there is a line. And yeah, so I like what Ashley said, how was it Ashley or – I like what Ali said, that, you know, on occasion, like for a couple of years, they just went, you know what? We're not going anywhere this year. We are staying home. And if you want to see us, come to us. I think that's completely valid as well. Like you can't do the rush around, go crazy every single year thing because it does get tiring. So yeah, I'm not sure we answered that really well, but it is like, I think the thing that we're saying is there has to be give and take. Like it can't be a completely, I don't want to do this, I'm not going to kind of situation, but there does also have to be a line, especially when you've got kids and like you can celebrate your Christmas with your little family unit at home and then be judicious about where you're going to drag the kids. You can also use the kids as excuses if you want. You can say, I don't want to drag the kids all over the countryside because I'll get cranky and no one will have fun. So
Also, I think like I really enjoy Christmas with my family and with my partner's family, and both of them are very, very fun. But if either of them weren't fun, I wouldn't go. Like I'd have a really hard time, you know, driving myself from Melbourne to Canberra with a shit ton of presents if my family sucked. So I think you can own if you don't want to hang with your family and just don't.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we are both coming from a place of like we get on really well with our families. Mm. If it wasn't as fun, yeah, you're right, I wouldn't make the effort either. So, oh dear, that sounded a bit harsh. Fiona asked, staying healthy while entertaining. She said, I get the idea in my head that every dinner needs dessert and wine and I must partake in consumption. And she said, to be honest, I don't need a lot of encouragement. But she said, I find it so easy to be healthy normally and so hard when we've got guests here to see us. Carls?
So my tips are that you don't have to drink at every occasion. I have also found that fasting is a godsend. So I've been doing the 16-8 for most of this year, which we'll be talking about in a future episode. So I can have a few cheeky glasses of wine without doing too much damage. I also loved the tip earlier about this tip is going to be later actually, but there's someone who recommends choosing 10 nights of indulgence. So you don't need to eat and drink yourself stupid throughout the whole silly season. I actually went booze free from January 1st to April this year and it was fantastic. So that just cuts down on any, you know, drunk snacking and hungover snacking as well. Yeah. My partner and I also don't eat sugar. So when we have people over, they get berries and cream. So it's like, it's still sugar, but it's, you know, good fruit sugar and everyone loves it. And we'll also serve dark chocolate. So we've become quite binary in our eating this year. And just because there's an occasion and there's a bowl of lollies on the table, because I haven't been eating sugar for the year, I'm not tempted to eat a bowl of lollies. But alcohol I will definitely have. So I need to pre-choose. So at the moment, I'm back in a hardcore phase of eating at the moment because I know that I'm doing another eight-week challenge because I got 8 kilos off this year. I want to get another 5 off, which is fun. But I want to get 5 off before Christmas, and this eight-week challenge ends the weekend that I go to this gig every year. It's fabulous. It's called Cell Block 69 and it's on in Canberra, and it's this tribute band that plays amazing songs, and it's the greatest night of the year. It's kind of like my own personal Christmas party, and I go with the same person every year. So it ends on that day. So I have been, you know, choosing indulgences up until that point. So for instance, my family is in town and I'm going to be drinking tonight, but that means that when I go out for dinner with our mates on the weekend, I won't be drinking. So, you know, you choose your times when you can indulge and choose your times when you don't.
Yeah, I think also I've got a few ideas. So when you're not at dinner, and I'm assuming you're not going out for dinner every single night, Fiona. If you are, wow. Where do you get the energy? That's crazy. But yeah, I think if you kind of almost apply the 80-20 rule to the Christmas season and go, look, 80% of the time I'm going to eat well. So whenever I'm in control of what I'm eating, I'm going to eat well. And then 20% of the time is when you're going out for dinner or going to work functions and stuff. That should get you through. The other thing is like when you are like at a buffet work function or something like that, like load your plate up with veggies first and then put the other stuff on later. So a lot of people like they'll go the meat first and then the big carb heavy thing second and then a little bit of veggies on the side. Like start with the veggies or start with a huge plate of salad first and then fill yourself up before you then go back for the, you know, the meat and potatoes kind of thing. Eat with a smaller plate, serve yourself on a smaller plate. That also helps. The other thing is I do agree with Carly about fasting being a godsend. That's something I've been trialing. And again, we're going to mention this in a future episode. It might be too late to activate that for the Christmas season, but it's useful for future celebratory seasons. But I think and also understand the abstainer moderator, like whichever one are you. If you're an abstainer, you'll respond well to putting like rules down for yourself where like, you know, for this dinner, I'm just going to have sparkling water and lemon, but the one tomorrow I'll have, you know, I'll drink and I'm not going to be too fazed about how many drinks I have. Whereas moderators would prefer to say every time I go out, I'm going to have like 2 drinks and that's it. So understand which you are and then you can set rules accordingly for yourself. But I do think setting rules is good as long as you don't self-flagellate if you like break your rules and think you're the worst person in the world.
Also employ the now or later rule. So yeah. when you do when you go to functions and stuff at Christmas time, particularly work functions, there will be circulating big, gross plates of oven sausage rolls and party pies and stuff that are inevitably going to be cold and disappointing. If you go to reach for a food that you wouldn't ordinarily eat, but you think, oh, hey, it's Christmas, I'm indulging, and you go to eat this thing, you know, pick up this gross little weird entree thing that you're having at a party that's just like mass catered and not catered very well, and think, would I prefer this, or would I prefer to go to my favorite dumpling place on Saturday and have six of the most beautiful dumplings I've ever had? So if you can think about future you and how much future you would prefer to have something different to what is on offer there, I find that's really, really helpful, because I don't want to waste my calories on, you know, gross mass-produced food that I would never eat in my normal life. I would rather go to, you know, the beautiful bakery down the road from myself and get their gluten-free salted caramel slice that they have, because that's a treat that I would prefer.
Yeah, I like that one. So Ashley asks, the gifts. My in-laws ask for huge wish lists from each family member every year, and if there isn't a big ticket item on the list, they'll just buy more and more small stuff until they've spent the same ridiculous amount on each of their kids and their kids' spouses. I've talked to them about not giving my kids, which is their grandkids, so much stuff, and they have dialed it back a bit, but they still give my husband and I a ton of stuff we don't want or need. And never any receipts. I don't know how to tell them that their well-meaning presents are a burden more than a gift. Whenever I try to say something, they pass it off like they think I'm worried they're spending too much money, and they think I'm just trying to be polite. Go, Carly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, if you've already said this to them and they have not responded in a positive way, then aside from subtle hints, there's not really much you can do about it. So I'm in a similar predicament, and I wish that we could all buy each other a $20 bottle of wine or nothing, but, you know, that's just the way it is, and there's not really much you can do about that. And I also think that particularly parents are of a different generation, and I think they went without a lot of stuff growing up and went through a different time. And I think sharing the abundance is just a part of their thing. And you'd also be surprised at how often you get given things that you can return without receipts, by the way.
Oh,
so
yes.
IKEA, they will give you like store credit. So I've been given a few things from IKEA, and I've just taken it back and added it to whatever stuff I actually want from IKEA. I think Kmart's pretty good at returning things without receipts, like as long as they've still got the tags on them.
Yeah.
I always try, and my mother is actually a gun at returning things without receipts. Like, she's one of the most – and I mean this in a very complimentary way – one of the most manipulative people I've ever met. She can get anyone to do anything for her. Like, so I just think that if you just walk into a shop and just smile and you know, just be gorgeous like my mum is, you can get people to do anything for you.
That's it. I've got two tips. One is – read Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies book and find out if your in-laws are upholders, obligers. I would suggest they're not obligers if they've ignored your repeated request to not spend so much money. They might be questioners or rebels, in which case you need to give them a really strong for questioners, they will need a really strong reason why the way that they're going about this gift-giving thing is not good for your family.
The environment.
Yeah, and you need to be able to articulate it. If you can't articulate it, then you're not going to be able to get them to understand it. Rebels are hard, but they quite like a choice. So you can say to them, look, you can do that, but you could also do this. I think if they're going to insist on spending a lot of money on stuff, either find a big ticket item that they can happily spend their money on and that you actually need. And you could even go like a whole family big ticket item, like, you know, I don't know what they're spending, but you might, and then you might say to them like, okay, you can get us tickets to the movies, like a 10 pass ticket to the movies, or a, I don't know, because I don't know what they're spending. But if you can offer them like experiences that they can buy for you and the kids, like zoo passes or museum passes or things like that, then it's not stuff that you have to give back, but they're experiences that you get to go and have as a family that might hopefully help solve the problem until next year.
Yeah, I like that. Just subtly seed that kind of thing.
Yeah. But like I said, if they're asking for big ticket items and you can't think of any that you guys need, then go for the big ticket experiences. Because if they're going to spend the money anyway and you can't discourage them from spending the money, and I think it sounds like they get great pleasure from spending that money, let them do it and, yeah, do the experience thing instead. Yep.
We're just going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. If you're a regular listener of Straight and Curly, you'll know self-improvement is totally our bag. And what better way to self-improve than to go back to uni? With Open University's new offering, you can now study single module postgraduate units from leading Australian universities without having to enroll in an entire degree, which is awesome if you're a little bit commitment phobic and don't really know what you want to study.
Hey, that's right. Have you been thinking about upskilling in your current job or maybe even changing career altogether? Because some of our listeners definitely have. And if you're wondering how the heck you'll find the time to do that, Open Universities provides you with the opportunity to learn the knowledge and skills that you need to make that change without the big time commitment.
Each unit is delivered by learning experts from some of Australia's leading universities, and you can study awesome subjects like cybersecurity, which sounds fascinating, actually. I was like, what do you even study in cybersecurity? Democracy and dictatorship, economics, marketing, mental health management, and online writing for those of you that are interested in writing careers.
So why not work in a way that is flexible for you? There are over 100 units to choose from, so head on over to open.edu.au and explore the courses they have on offer.
We're going to move on to tips now. So the tips that we came that like they were just so incredible. Oh, actually, sorry. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about before we move on to there. So we had Teresa asked about extrovert-introvert marriage and how to both enjoy the day loaded with social expectations. So this question actually really resonated with me because my partner is a hardcore introvert and I'm the opposite. So often I will go early to my family and hang out and help them get food ready. And then, you know, the meal will come a few hours later. And then that's when Ben will come. So it's really unreasonable for me to expect him to be sparky and bright for a 10-hour day around other people when other people completely deplete his energy stores. So I fought this for the first year that we were together and then I just accepted it and my life has been brilliant ever since. I'm often alone socially, but that's fine because I like it. And then that way I give Ben the option of conserving his energy in his own space, which is when he's at his best. And then he's recharged and ready to deal with my family for, you know, and it's not just my family, it's any group larger than like me and Ben. And if he's so, and that gives him like 3 to 4 hours of Ben at his best with my family,
yes,
rather than him spending 10 hours being at half mast and people wondering if he's sick or if he's angry or,
yeah,
you know, if he doesn't want to be there. And I'm like, no, he's just an introvert and has been around other people for far too long today. I actually thank one of my cousins for marrying an introvert because now Ben makes more sense to them.
Yeah, my parents are the same. My mum, even though she likes to think she's an introvert, is not. She's quite an extreme extrovert, and my dad is an extreme introvert, and she too has had to, I don't know how accepting she is of it, still kind of drives her crazy, and she still thinks dad's not a joiner. And this is after 40 years of marriage. I'm like, come on, mum, catch up. But the fact is, yeah, that's what they'll do. Like, so dad will always kind of come at the start, but then he will slowly make his way to the living room and he might watch the, you know, whatever's on TV. And there's other people in there. So all the quiet people go in the living room and they have quiet time together. And then, you know, dad will usually go home earlier than mum. And that's just the way it has to be. Mum, like, wants everyone there and wants to be around everybody. And she really desperately wants dad to be that person too. But he's not that person. He's 80. He's probably not going to become that person anytime soon. And yeah, unfortunately, we do. It's like, I get the thing of desperately wanting your partner to be involved and party and go lucky and all that stuff, but you know, it's just not who they are, and it's unreasonable to expect them to be that person. They have other strengths. They just don't have Christmas Day strengths, that's all.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. So first tip,
Yeah, so this tip comes from Jodie and I absolutely love it. So she has a great tip for navigating silly season during the month of December. So she plans out events and tries to get through the month of December with only 10 indulgences. So Christmas Day, New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve are big dates in her house, so they're locked in as indulgence days. Then she has another 7 indulgence days to play with. So it can be Christmas wine catch up with the girlfriends, a colleague makes an amazing homemade Rocky Road and that will be an indulgence on another day. And I love this tip of she tries really hard not to eat store-bought food. So, you know, these big gross bags of lollies and those foul cakes and stuff.
Yes.
She doesn't eat any of those. I've never been hugely into that. And she tries to save indulgences for special Christmas treats that are and she's written hashtag homemade with love, which I think is lovely. And so also she tries to make an event indulgence free. She'll offer to be the driver, so that will stop her from drinking. And I really like that she has a goal, and her goal is to weigh the same on December 1st as she would on January 1st.
I like it.
Which I think it's great.
And because, totally achievable. Like, I think that's the other thing is, like, a lot of people do go into the Christmas silly season with the mindset of, oh, well, I'm just going to put on weight and then I'm just going to have to lose it in January. Like, you don't just got to do anything. Like, you can just by being judicious. You don't have to deprive yourself. You just have to approach things with a different mindset. You don't have to deprive yourself. You don't have to go, I'm not going to have any fun if I eat well or don't drink. Like, you just, choose your indulgence days. And I love that tip from Jodie. I love it. I think it's great. I love Penelope's tip as well. And I actually adhere to this very, very strictly myself. She says, any social gathering catch up that does not need to be in December should be put off. So everybody, like, how often do we go? Like, so there'll be people you haven't seen all year. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, we got to catch up before Christmas. Like, no, you don't have to catch up before Christmas. I haven't seen you all year, not because I don't love you or whatever, it's just because of life. But if I haven't seen you all year, I don't need to see you before December 25. We can catch up in January when everybody's having a bit of downtime and it's school holidays. So yes, that one is one of my absolute, absolute favorites.
Me too, because everyone's like January, I've mentioned this before, I hate January because it's just slow and lazy. No one gets anything done, but it's a really good time for hanging out with people because everyone's kind of available. And even if you, I mean, most people I know work, but even if they're at work, they're not really working because half the office isn't there. And yeah, so I really like that.
Yeah.
Joanna says, stop buying treats like chocolates, nuts, crisps, etc., as people always bring them. And two, hide them in the pantry so they're not in plain sight. I don't fill our house with crap around Christmas because there's absolutely no point. And I don't have that stuff in my house most of the time, so I wouldn't around Christmas either.
Cool. And yeah, so Anne and Carl's, let's set a challenge for this week, hey?
So the challenge for this week is to set yourself a non-negotiable boundary for Christmas, just one. So make it maybe not feeling guilty about not seeing all of your family or committing to healthy eating or not inviting that family to Christmas who always upsets everyone. I think whatever it is that causes you so much stress around Christmas, create a boundary around it and stick to it.
Also, don't forget we've written a book. It is available in PDF, Kindle, and paperback form, and it would make a fantastic Christmas present for the self-improver in your life, just quietly.
It would.
And you can find it at straightandcurly.com/book. If you have been enjoying the show and you are searching for a way to support us, buying our book in whichever format best meets your budget and needs is a great way to do that. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.